Islam al-Arif, where the Mishnah distinguishes between Dini Mominis and Dini Knossis. The Mominis is sufficient with the Beznach Shloisha Hedyoitis, and Zelus Lachavolus, and Knossis require Beznach Shloisha Smuchim, and Malchus was a Machloikis, whether you need 23 or 3, and the Foshis needs 23, and Kiddush HaChodesh, and Ibra Hashana. Every case needs a different Herkev Beznach. And then the Mishnah continues. We learned the first white line in the Mishnah and Beis Amir Aleph, that Smicha Zikainim and Apar Halam Dovashal Tzibur, you have to have either three or five members of the Beis Magadol representing the whole Beis Magadol to represent all of Klal Yisrael, really. It's a Korban Tzibur. So the Smicha is done by a Bezn. It's a loch of a Bezn. It more applies to Klal Abayim Bezn Shofar, that you're not allowed to establish a bezel with an even number. You have to have either three or five. And the same is true regarding Arifa Segla. Arifa Segla doesn't mean, Tosfos points out, it says, Ayin Tosfos Mekamon Yud Dalet Amud Aleph Dima Maskal Barifas. An even number. You have to have either three or five. And the same is true regarding Arifa Segla. Arifa Segla doesn't mean, Tosfos points out, it says, Ayin Tosfos Mekamon Yud Dalet Amud Aleph Dima Maskal Barifas. So the Tosfos on the top of Dafi Galad Amud Aleph points out that if you learn the Gemara, you see that when the Gemara understands the expression Arifa Segla, that it's not Meduyik, it really means Medida Segla. It really means when you measure to the cities that are closest to the Cholo to determine which is the closest city, in order to determine which city has to bring the Egla Rufa. So the Medida has to be done by a Bezdin, it's Allah HaBad Bezdin, of either three or five, quite so beautiful, Reb Shimon. And that Bezdin has to be members of the Bezdin HaGadol as representing the whole Bezdin HaGadol. And it's the Din of Bezdin, that's why the Gemara applies to the Klal of Ein Bezdin Shol. So once the Mishnah mentions Arifa Segla, which is Lav Davka Arifa, really means the Medida, measuring to the cities that are closest. So the Gemara quotes a little bit of a discussion regarding the halachas, the details of the Medida. So on the bottom line, on Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara has the drasha from the Pesukim, how does Rav Yehuda derive that it's three, and has Rav Shimon derive that it's five. Okay, Gemara works through. And then the Gemara has on the last line, the Gemara quotes a brayse, the Kiditanya, the Yotzu Hein Velo Shluchon, the three or the five people who go to do the Medida have to be the actual members of the Beis Magadol. Three or five members of the Beis Magadol, they can. The Beis Magadol cannot send other Rabbanim or other Balabatim to represent them, to constitute a Bezna of three or five. No, they have to be mamish, the members of the Beis Magadol. What is the connotation of Umadu do? They measure to the cities of Shasiva Sakhola. Shafila Nimtza Ba'alil La'ir. Let's say they find a dead body in Eretz Yisrael, or Nodami Hiko, you don't know who murdered him. And you have to determine which city is closest. What if there's no suffix? It's clear. Here it's 2 feet outside of this city and it's 10 miles away from any other city. So obviously it's closest to this city. So do you still have to measure to the cities? It's a dead giveaway that is mamish closest to the city. So that's what the Braisa says. Umadadu, it's Akzeris HaKosim, to have to measure. Afila Nimtza Ba'alil, even if it's clear that it's closest to one city, nonetheless, Sarach Lasak B'Medida, still, it's a mitzvah Medida. But that's a shaila. What does that mean? It means that the Medida is a mitzvah not only for the purpose of establishing which is the Ir HaKroivah. The Gemara in Bava Basra has a klal. Let's say we find some Nochem stole a barrel of wine. The Jews and the Nochem have orchards, have vineyards, and each one makes their own wine, and they put the wine in barrels. And the same barrel, it doesn't have any label on this barrel, doesn't have any label on that barrel. When the Jews make their wine, they keep their barrels, and they know that this is kosher wine. When the Nochem make their wine, they make in their barrels, and the same outward tzura. And they keep the tray for wine and barrel. So let's say Ganef comes and he steals some wine, and I find a barrel in the middle of the street. And I don't know whether this barrel was stolen from the kosher wine or from the tray for wine. So what's the din? And I find the barrel. Am I allowed to drink the wine or not? So the Gemara says, you go bust the korek. Which wine press is it closest to? Is it closer to the wine press where they have the kosher wine? Or is it kosher to the wine press where they made the tray for wine? Because the Gemara learns out from this pasuk of Karo has to bring the Egla Rufa is because Karev is a beer. We assume that the murderer must have come from the city that's closest. And then Gemara has in the second parak in Balbasa discussion what we have another way to determine what the facts are. Roiv. So let's say the non-kosher company manufactures 100 times more wine than the kosher company. But I found a barrel of wine closer to the kosher. If I find a barrel of wine, mamish in on the premises of the kosher wine factory, and the stomach was stolen from their factory. Why should I think it was stolen from the tracer factory 10 blocks away, and they stole it and they brought it over here? So if I wind up, find a mamish karev the muchach, it's very close to the kosher place. So then you assume that it must be kosher wine. But if I find it at this in the middle of the street, the ganov must have stolen a barrel of wine. Someone bought some wine. And they left it in the middle of the street and no one comes to claim it. So even though it's kosher, even though it's closer to the kosher company is 2 blocks away. The non-kosher company is 20 blocks away. But the non-kosher company manufactures 100 times more wine. So do you say on the one hand the roiv is mevarer, the odds are 100 to 1 that it came from the treifa? Okay, you had to figure out, the kavua is a problem. I had to figure out, well, what is the word?
You have to apply kavua.
It's probably not kavua. This is not kavua.
It's called the parish.
No. Kavua would be if I was watching when they took...
Let's say you have that wine factory.
The wine factories are kavua, but the barrel of wine is not kavua.
Well,
same thing. Yeah, if I would be watching when the wine would be taken from the factory, and I don't remember which factory they took it from, that would be a case of kavua. That would also be a machlokes in cases.
You don't say kavua.
That's called the parish. It's pirish b'faneinu. If I bought the flesh, and now I don't remember, did I buy the flesh to feed it to the dogs or to feed it to the nochrim who work for me? Did I buy the flesh to eat for myself? So then if I don't remember, so since it was I was the one who bought it, so the suffix was noilad, minam, makam kavua, so that's called kavua. And that's a machloikis by Pirish Lefanein, was that kavua derais or kavua derabon? That's also a machloikis. But over here, benimtza, you find a barrel of wine, the same as finding a piece of flesh, taka the same, that it's called the parish, it's not called kavua. So the Gemara Baba Basa says over there, whenever you have two birurim that contradict each other, on the one hand, the roiv indicates the odds are 100 to 1, that the barrel of wine must have come from the non-kosher winery. But on the other hand, the karov indicates that it's closer to the kosher wine factory, so mistam it's kosher. So what do you do when there's a conflict between the one beer and the other? So the Gemara says, roiv the karov halachach ha-roiv. We follow roiv. So the Gemara effect hakasha, so how does the Torah say you bring an egg? La-rufa, you measure. Madadil har mashasvivas ha-chol, you measure whichever city is the closest. We assume that the murderer came from that city, and that city needs a kapara. So the Gemara asked Akasha why, but there's Ruba Diyama against it. The odds are 1,000 to 1, that he probably came from a different city. There are people living there, murderers in all the cities. Mechatei said that the murderer came from this city because of Kara, but the rave should indicate Fakir. So the Gemara answers, they found a dead body in a location where it's highly unlikely that anybody came. Gemara has a case for Yosheves Bein Ahar. They find a dead body in an area at Dechreis, like in upstate New York, a place that nobody ever goes. No tourists ever go there, people never come. Not near the George Washington Bridge in New Jersey, where everybody travels from all the villages. Everybody goes into New York, travels by on the highway. No, I found them, the dead body somewhere. Well, in America, there's no Din Mechal, in Eretz Yisrael. They found a dead body in a place, the Yosheves Bein Ahar. In a far out place that it's highly unlikely that the murderer came from any other places, it has to be one of these cities. So you see from that Gemara that the whole idea of Karev is not exactly like cost of Karev. See that the whole idea of Karev is that Karev is Mevarer, which city the murderer came from. And whenever you have Roy contradicting Karev, so the Karev doesn't bring the Egla Rufa. So if the whole purpose of Karev is just to be Mevarer, which place the murderer came from, so if it's Nimtza Balil, Lahir, if it's Klor B'Nitog that the dead body is closer to this city than to that city, so what do you have to waste time? What do you have to bother measuring for? Isn't it obvious? If the whole purpose of the Medida is just to determine A hoichachet, a birur, a raya, where the murder came, say, no, he came from this city. So don't you see from this Gemara that the din of Korav is exeris akosu? So what does the Gemara say there in Baba Basra that there's a problem, right, the Korav? What does the Gemara consider with a problem? So the Minhas Chinuch has a long essay on it. So he says, this is not really akasha, because when the Gemara said over there, right, the Korav, the Gemara there asked akasha. If you have the dead body is found in between two cities. One city is a tremendous metropolis, has millions of people living in it. The other city is a little village. It only has 150 people live there. And here you have millions. So if you found the dead body closer to the little village, so the Gemara said, Kasha, why don't you say, Rav Bukharev, Holchamacham Rav? What was the Gemara's Kasha? So the big metropolis should bring an Egla Rufo? Or the Kasha was that no one should bring an Egla Rufo? So that's what many Rishonim, that's what the Minhas Chinuch quotes, he found the Taisus Ritz says like that, and Baba Basra, he got all excited, he says that that's the Pshat. And he thinks that many Rishonim learn like that. The Gemara's Kasha, Rebbe Korav was not that the big metropolis should bring an Egla Rufo. No, from our Gemara, you see that Korav is a Gzeres HaKosu. Otherwise, what do you need a Bezna HaGodol to come and measure for? It's obviously a Gzeres HaKosu. If an Imtzu Balil, if it's Klor B'Netov, that the dead body's closer to this city. So you see, it's a Gzeres HaKosu, it's a religious ceremony, it's a mitzvah digazah. But in addition to being a mitzvah, it's also supposed to be mevarer. The whole purpose of going through this whole rigmarole of this mitzvah is in order to mevarer, which is the closest city. So if it will not contain, if Kurva will not contain a birur, then the Korav will not bring an Egla Rufa. It's not that the Roiv, not that the biggest city will bring an Egla Rufa. Nobody will bring an Egla Rufa. In order to bring an Egla Rufa, you need that it should be a Korav in both senses. He should be a Gzeres HaKosav, of Korav should be fulfilled, that the members of the Bez Nagodol should do a Medid, even if it's Klor B'Netov, that it's closest to this city. It's a ritual you have to establish Al Pidin, that it's the closest. And number two, that Kurva should indicate that the murderer came from that city. But if you have a Roiv and Korav that contradict each other, and the Roiv indicates the murderer didn't come from this city, then the Gzeres HaKosav, the Korav isn't going to help. You have to have both. That's the Poshet answer. That's the Poshet Pshat. In fact, there's an interesting discussion Minhas Chinuch has on the mitzvah of Egla Rufa. He quotes a Machlokes Achronim. What if the dead body, the murdered person, is found in the middle of a city? So where are you going to measure to? Usually, you find a dead body on the highway, so you measure to the cities that are closest. But over here, you're not trying to measure. You measure till the end of the city. What are you going to measure to? He's in the city. There's nowhere to measure to. So what would be the din of such a case? So he quotes, there's a Gemara in the second parak in Yuma, where the Gemara tells a wild story, the Mishnah tells a story, that originally the Takana used to be who had the right to do the Trumas Hadesh and who had the right to Shech the Korbanos. So they used to have a race, and whoever came within the Dalet Amos of the Mizbeach first won the race, and he had the right to do the Shulmas Hadesh, and he had the right to do the Shechitas HaKorbanos. So the Mishnah describes on one occasion two young people were racing, and each one was holding the knife in order to shech the Korban, and one beat the other one. So the one who lost was such a sore loser. He was such a sore loser, he took his knife that was Meyuchat for Shechitas HaKorbanos, and he killed the other one. He stabbed him in order that he should get rid of the competition, that he should win. No, he should be Zeichat to do the Shechitas HaKorbanos. So the Gemara says over there, when they had the funeral, so they had a Balmaspid, they had someone deliver a Hespid. So he was crying out loud and he said, Oy Gival, who's going to bring the Egla Rufa? Should the Azora bring an Egla Rufa? Should the Yerushalayim bring an Egla Rufa? Should the Bez Nagal bring an Egla Rufa? So what do you mean, should they bring an Egla Rufa? But they found them dead in the middle of the Beis HaMikdash, in the middle of the city. So some Achrayim say, you see from that Gemara that you bring an Egla Rufa, even if he's dead, in the middle of the city. Others say, no, what has it got to do? Say, Stam Gevena Hespid. The whole din of Egla Rufa is only Lono Dami Hiko. He had 100 people watching when he murdered him. Everybody knew who the murderer was. There was no Sofik over here. Stam, that was the Hespid that he was delivering to the Moira as Halvavis, that they should all realize what a tragedy it is. And he was saying, who's going to bring the Egla Rufa? What a tragedy is it? In the holy city of Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash, somebody was murdered to death. So the Minhag Sinai quotes Achrayim on that Gemara in Yuma, the beginning of the second parak in Yuma. Can you tell or not from that Gemara whether when the dead body's in the middle of the city? So some Achrayim hold that there's no Egla Rufa. Why? Because there's no Medida. You can't have Medida. What are you going to measure from the dead body to the edge of the city? You're going further away. He's in the middle of the city. Ay, is Mamish Karav, that's Karav the Muchach, is in the city. No, but the kurva that's mechayiv and egla rufa has to be both. The kurva that's an indication that the murderer came from the city, plus a gzeirus hakasav of kurva that's accomplished by medidas. Some achronim hold that since it's not possible to do medida because he's found in the middle of the city, there's taka no din of egla rufa.
When the body is found close to the city, and the next city is 10 miles away, without the measure, they measure it all around the city.
No, they have to measure to the far away city. They have to figure which are the closest cities. The one city is within a stone's throw, and the other city is 10 miles away. So they have to take ropes and measure and ascertain. They know that this is 10 miles and this is 2 blocks away. So they measure till the end of this city, then they measure till the end of that city.
They have to go all the way to the other city, even though it's close beyond.
Even though
once they measure beyond where they know that it's 9 times 9.
Yeah. I think so. So that's what the Gemara quotes. The Gemara quoted this Machlekes HaTanaim. The Rav Yudah and Rav Shimon had a Machlekes whether the Bezdin that represents the Bezdin HaGadol is supposed to be a Bezdin of 3 or Bezdin of 5. And then the Gemara says on the top line on the base that our Mishnah is the Loki Haitana Dutanya, and the Mishnah is in disagreement with Rav Lezer ben Yankiv. His opinion is that when you do the Medida for Begla Ruf, you need the entire 71 members of the Bezna Gadol. It's not sufficient just to have 3 or 5 representatives. You have to have the entire Bezna Gadol plus the Melech, if you have a Melech, a Jewish king in Eretz Israel, plus the Kohen Gadol. That's a Gzeres HaKasav. He learned it out from the Pesukim like that. That all of these dignitaries have to be present at the time that the Medida is done. And then the Gemara quotes Brises to indicate that this is so. The Rav Lezer ben Yankiv really says that. In the discussion, when they demonstrate that this is so they quote it as Azayta Gedim. So the Gemara quotes a Brisa, about 10 lines from the top. Toshma, the line begins with the words Toshma. They quote a Brisa, Mitzuan Abes Pagi Behimra Alem. This is a different din. This is a din of Zaka Mamre. The Zaka Mamre is a Talmud Chacham who is in disagreement with the Psak of the Bezna Gadol. They issue a Psak one way, and he holds Faker. So the din is that he's not allowed to paskin against the Bezna Gadol. He personally can maintain his shita. He holds that the Bezna Gadol is wrong. He's not allowed to maintain a shita in public. If he's going to publicly demonstrate that he's in disagreement, that's like paskining against them in public, even though he didn't paskin to anybody. But personally, privately, let's say there's a machlekes, is how he's supposed to lake tefillin. He holds one way and they hold a different way. So he should daven home and lake tefillin the way he holds it the correct way. He shouldn't give in to them if he holds that they're absolutely wrong. What do you mean? He marked their b'chinas. When they learned in yeshiva, he marked their b'chinas and he knows that they never got 100. And he knows what the real din is. The Gemara has that the din of Zalka Mamre even applies. He has a Kabbalah. The Zalka Mamre has a Kabbalah from his Rabbein. And the Bezna Gadol are young guys and they're saying Mitzar HaSvara. And he's screaming at them, what Svara, when Svara? I have a Kabbalah from my Rabbein, but it's not so. So still the Gemara says you're not allowed to paskin against the Bezna Gadol. If anybody asks you, you have to say, I hold like this, but what can I do? The Bezna Gadol paskin against me. You're allowed to say that. You're allowed to say, I hold like this. I think the din should be like that, but the Bezna Gadol paskins against me, so I'm not allowed to paskin against him. And if you hold it, you're not yaitzeh tefillin the way they say, so lake tefillin at home, and do it the way you think. If you're going to lake tefillin in public with your shita, that's like a public psak against the Bezna Gadol, so then there's a din of Zalka Mamre. So the Gemara learns that from a pasuk, Mitzuan Abeis Pagi. What if you bumped into the members of the Bezna Gadol when they were chutzli Yerushalayim? Abeis Pagi is an area outside of Yerushalayim. They issued the Psak when they were not in the Lishkas HaGozes. And then the Himra Aleh, and then he's a Zakim Mamre, and he's paskining against them. So he's not Chayiv Nisim. The din of Zaken Mamre, Chayiv Nisim, only applies if their psak was delivered when they, the Bez Nagodol, were in the Lishkas HaGozis. But if they were Chutz L'Lishkas HaGozis, so then they don't have the status of Bez Nagodol. So the Gemara learns that from the Pasuk Talmud Loimer. The Pasuk says in Chumash, V'kam to the Alisa L'Amokim, you should go up to Yerushalayim, Alamed Shahamokim Gorein. The psak is only considered a psak of Bez Nagodol when they are in the Lishkas HaGozis. So that's what Tosis points out, means the word, the Kamta Elisa El Ha-Mokoyim, the word Mokoyim means, what does it mean exactly? What does it mean, that's also a question, what does it mean, Malamish Ha-Mokim Gorim? Mokim Gorim means when the Bezin was in the Lishkas HaGozis, Mamish, the Lishkas HaGozis was in the Beis HaMikdash, Lishka, it was one of the rooms in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says, the Lishkas HaGozis was a big room, which is Chetzia Ba-Kodesh, Chetzia Ba-Kol. When they built the second Beis HaMikdash, they were mekadesh certain areas, and then they put up walls to make rooms. So they made a room in such a way, this Lishkas HaGozis, that half of the room, visualize this room, is a gigantic room of Lishkas HaGozis. Half of it has Kedushas HaZora, and half of it has Kedushas HaRabais. And the half that has Kedushas HaZora, the din is Ein Yeshiva Ba'Zora, Elo L'Malkei Bezdov L'Vav. No one's allowed to sit there, unless he's the Melech from the Malkei Bezdov. By Sheni, there was no Malkei Bezdov. They weren't a Malachim at all until the days of the Chashmonaim. The Chashmonaim were Kahanim. They weren't from Shevet Yehuda. So they weren't a Malachim Beis Dovid to speak of. So nobody was allowed to sit in the Azorah in the days of the Bais Sheni, Bais Rishon. They were Malachim Beis Dovid. And the other half of the Lishkas HaGozis was Harabais, and the Harabais were all allowed to sit. So the members of Beis Nagol used to sit in that half of the Lishkas HaGozis that was Chetzia Bachol. Chol does mean Chol. It means it wasn't Mekudosh B'Kedushas HaZorah. It was only Mekudosh B'Kedushas Harabais. And the Umamish Tomach Lam is Be'ach. That's the opening Rashi on Parshas Mishpatim. That at the end of Parshas Yisro, it speaks of about making Mizbach Avonim Tastali, when you make a Mizbe'ach, and then the beginning of Mishpatim is establishing a Bezin. The Rashi quotes from the Mechilta, you have to have a Sanhedrin Tomach Lam is Be'ach. He says, Mamish Tomach Lam is Be'ach. They would convene in a room which was Chetzi Bakodesh or Chetzi Bakol. So when we say Milamed Shahamokim Gorim, that the Zokamam is only Chayiv Nisa, the pastors against the Bez Nagodol, if the Epsak was issued when they were in the Mokom means Mamish literally, their Lishkas HaGozis was Mamish Samach on his Be'ach. And what if they, the Rabbanot just moved in Eretz Yisrael? It used to be in Hechel Shlomo, now they moved somewhere else. What if they decide there, the room is not nice enough, they need more Lishkas HaGozis, not big enough, they need room for more secretaries and more file cabinets and more whatever. And more PR. So they moved from the Lishkas HaGozis, moved to another place, in Yerushalayim, in Ir Atika. Is that good enough? So Tosfos holds that it's not good enough. This Tosfos, Malamed Shamokim Gorim, says that it's not good enough. Tosfos says that here, when it says Mokum, it means literally Lishkas HaGozis. And the Tosfos, the last five lines, the last few lines in Tosfos, quote from Shabbos Daf Tezvov, Mem Shonos, Koyim Shechor Rabbayis, Golfo Sanhedrin, 40 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Sanhedrin left the Lishkas HaGozis, and the Gemara says that's why Mem Shana Koyim Churban Habayis, all the Nisim stopped happening. The nest that the there were different Nisim in the Bayis Sheni, so everything stopped, everything ceased 40 years before, because the Bez Nagodol sitting in the Lishkas HaGozis is not only a din of Bez Nagodol. Bez Nagodol is supposed to be there. It's a din in Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, Bishlei Musoi, is when you have the Bez Nagodol there. And the Bez Nagodol is not there. Not only are they not a full din Bez Nagodol, the Beis HaMikdash is considered a weaker condition of Beis HaMikdash. So that's why the Nisim that used to occur every year, the Loshen Shel Zoharis used to turn white on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says that ceased to occur 40 years before the Churban HaBayis and some other Nisim. I forgot about it. The Goyro Lashem was Bimin, always. Yeah, the different things stopped. Why? Because the Bez Nagodol was no longer there, they had a self-imposed goal. The State of Gemara gives a whole political reason why they left the Lishkas HaGozis. Because they weren't able to keep law and order. They weren't able, Mishir Rabba Haratz Chanin. There were so many murderers and they weren't able to keep law and order. So they felt, how can they retain their position? So they had to resign, so they left. So they left their office and they didn't convene anymore in the Lishkas HaGozis. So because they were not there, so the Kedushas Beis HaMikdash was incomplete. So that's why the Nisim didn't continue to occur. So where did they go? So the Gemara says in the end of Rosh Hashanah, places called Daf Lamed Aleph, Esther Goliath Golfo Sanhedrin. They left the Lishkas HaGozis and they went to a Chanus. Then from the Chanus they went to Yerushalayim. Sounds like the Chanus is at this location on the way from The Lishkas Agos is on the way down the Harabayis till you get to the Ir Atika, till you get to Yerushalayim. So it sounds like that's considered Golus HaSanhedrin, even though they're still in the Ir Atika. That's not called a Mokum. A Mokum Gar means literally the Lishkas Agos. It has to be that Mokum. That's what Tesis says here. Rabbi Akiva Eger tells you to look in the Rash in Kalim, who doesn't agree. There are other Baliyat Tesis don't agree with this Tesis. They hold no. Malamish Amokim Gar means anywhere in Yerushalayim. The Kam to the Alisa Amokim Shivcha Hashem Alakecho refers to Yerushalayim. So the first couple of stages in the Golas HaSanhedrin, they went to the Chanus, then they went to Yerushalayim, they still maintained the status of Bez Nagor. After they left Yerushalayim, then it's no more Bez Nagor. The Tesis holds not so. The Tesis points out that even though the word makom appears in connection with achilas ma'aseh sheni also, v'suchah lechol b'sherach ma'aseh tigonchah b'sirashah b'tzarech v'charis b'korchah b'tzanecha, ki'im ala makom shivchah Hashem alakech n'kol shivtech l'osim l'shmai sham. So what does mean ki'im ala makom? You have to bring the ma'aseh sheni to where? To the Beis HaMikdash? No, to anywhere in Yerushalayim you can eat it. So there, in that passage, the word makom means anywhere in Yerushalayim. Here you're telling me, Tesis claims, and here you're telling me, the Kamta Valisa on the makom means only Lishkas Agozis. So Tesis says, Sinishkin Kashe, Sinishkin Stira. The word makom has a different meaning in different places. Each pasuk you have to determine based on the context what the connotation of makom is. So by Achilas Maisa Sheni means anywhere in Yerushalayim, and by the Sanhedrin, Tesis claims against the Rashi Kavan. Tesis claims that what it means is only the Lishkas Agozis Mamash. That's Taka Shaila. We discussed a little bit. The Rambam writes that Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur HaShanah can only be done under the auspices of the Bez Nagon. You have to have a Bez Nagon. So the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos asks, how can that be? That's against history. We know that they continued to do Kiddush HaChodesh till the days of Abai Barova. Abai Barova lived in Bavel. And their counterpart in Eretz Yisrael, the big Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael in their days, was Hillel HaSheni, who was the son of Rabbi Yudah Nisiya, who was the grandson of Rabbi Yudah HaNasi, Rebbe. Rabbi Yudah HaNasi, the one who edited the Mishnayos, had a grandson who was also named Rabbi Yudah HaNasi. And to distinguish the grandson from the grandfather, they called the grandfather Rabbi Yudah HaNasi, Rebbe, and they called the grandson Rabbi Yudah Nisiya. But it means the same thing. Rabbi Yudah Nisiya also means Rabbi Yudah HaNasi. But he wasn't the same one as Rebbe, so they called him differently, Rabbi Yudah Nisiya. His son was Hillel HaSheni. And he was the one who established the Luach. So until the days of Hillel HaSheni, they still continued to do Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi Ariya. And that's when he instituted the Luach Kavua, Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi Achezba. So the Gemara says, Malam HaShamotim Gorim, that there's no status, the Ramban asks, in the Sefer HaMitzvos and the Rambam. This Bez Nagodol doesn't have its status as Bez Nagodol unless the Yeshvim Bim Kaimam. This was already after the Goliath, after all the Eser Goliaths. Eser Goliaths, Golsa Sanhedrin, for Nechanus to Yerushalayim, and then to Shparam, and then to Tveri, and then to Tzipori, and then they disappeared. And then Hillel HaSheni was after all of those Eser Goliaths. Acharei Kechlos HaKol. And he was still Mekadosh HaPi Ariyah. But the Rambam writes that actually Davke Bez Nagol. So that's why the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. There is no such halacha. You don't need Bez Nagol. Only Allah is like this. There's a Mechilta that says the Rambam was quoting Mechilta, you need Bez Nagol. So he says, no, Mechilta means a different thing. When you have a Bez Nagodol, what chutzpah can any private personal Bez Nagodol have to be Mekadosh and Chodesh without the approval of a Bez Nagodol? This is an issue that's negated to all of Klal Yisrael when Rosh Hashanah is, when Yom Tov Pesach is going to be. Any three rabbis who have ordination are going to get together, they're going to convene, they're going to decide where Rosh Chodesh is, and then everybody has to observe Pesach when they said so. But that's a chutzpah. So if you live in a generation when there is a Bez Nagodol, Rosh Pesach, you have to defer to the Bez Nagodol. But if you live in a generation when there's no Bez Nagodol, so Ramban says the Halacha doesn't require a Bez Nagodol. He disagrees with the Rambam. But the Shailas, the Rambam understood the Mechilta as having said that Kiddush HaChodesh needs Bez Nagodol. Not just if you have a Bez Nagodol, you're not allowed to do without them, and Shum Kvoidam. The Rambam writes that Shtel Tavek the Din. HaChodesh HaZel Lachem, the Rebbe Shalom is talking to Moshe Rabbeinu, Vadana Shalom Moshe Valaram, Vayim HaChodesh HaZel Lachem, Moshe Rabbeinu was the Bez Nagodol, he was the Godol Ador, and the same is true in every generation. Kiddush HaChodesh has to be done by the Rosh HaSanhedrin, by the Bez Nagodol. So how can that be? But there was no Bez Nagodol 40 years before the Churban HaBayis. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi died in the year 220. Rabbi Sheni was chayav in the year 70, and 40 years before was the year 30. So from the year 30 on, there was no more Bez Nagor. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya was the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who died in 220, and his son Hillel Hasheni. That was already the year 300. So in the year 300, around the year 300, that was almost 300 years after the Hafsakas HaSanhedrin. So how is he still making Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi HaRiya, according to the Rambam? So the Nosei Kelim on the side of the Sefer HaMitzvahs suggests in the Megillah Sestah, and I think the others write as well, the Rambam perhaps holds that this halacha of Hamlam and Shamakim Gorim has only been negated to Zakim Mamre. And Benegeir to Din in the Foshas. He can't say it's only Benegeir to Zalk and Mamre. This Bryce says, Mitzona beis Pagi Bim Aleim. So this Bryce only quotes as Benegeir to Zalk and Mamre, Himra Aleim. But the Gemara says in Avodah Zorah, in Daf Ches, in the first parak in Avodah Zorah, that after the Golos HaSanhedrin, 40 years before the Chuvim Bayis Sheni, he Paskul Lodin Din in the Foshas. Why? Because he can only have a Sanhedrin Tana when the whole system is functioning. When you still have a Sanhedrin Dayla, then you can have a Sanhedrin Tana. If you have no Sanhedrin Dayla, then the Sanhedrin Tana can't function either. So the Gemara says that this Pasuk, Malamish Amok and Gorm, is not only going to get to Zakman, it's going to get to all Din in the Foshas. But that's all. It doesn't mean that the Ramban understood Malamish Amok and Gorm, if the Bez Nagodol is not Yeshim and Kermen, they don't have the status of Bez Nagodol. And the Rambam apparently understood otherwise. They do maintain the status of Bez Nagodol, they just can't function in the areas of Din in the Foshas. But in other areas, they can function. What's the writer? What? It was still Paskin and Shilas because they were the Gedolei HaTorah of the generation, but maybe according to the Ramban, they no longer had the status of Bez Nagor. But the Rambam clearly holds otherwise. The Rambam says that they still maintain the status of Bez Nagor throughout. Places in the first parak in Sotah, Yes HaKasha, the Gemara says in the end of Sotah that there was one Pengolim who stopped administering the Maim Hamorim for the Sotahs. It came a time, the din is that you can only administer Maim Hamorim to a Sotah when it's the Nikol Hish Meyodim, the Zman Shahabam, the Meyodim. The husband has a right to press charges against his wife and say that she's a Sotah, to check for her if he is on the level. If he himself is running around with Zainus and he's also having affairs with other people, then he has no right. The Zman Shahabam, the Meyodim. So the Gemara says it came a generation where the husbands were not so medakte, and the children, and the married children were not so medakte. So it's not considered haba manukum yovah, and so this kengadol stopped administering the Maim Hamorim. So it's a spectacular kasha, but that kengadol lived in the last 40 years of the Bayis Sheni. So after there's no longer a Sanhedrin, isn't that the end of the story? Because the Mishnah says in the first parak in Sotah that part of the Seder Hashkas HaSotah is that you bring the Sotah to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Gemara runs out from Sukkim that you have to bring it to the Bez Nagodol, and Bez Nagodol speaks to the woman to try to convince her that she should admit that she really is guilty, she should admit it, and so on. If she's not, if she's not admitted, she should feel strong and she shouldn't be afraid of the Maim Hamorim. But the Gemara learns it out from Sukkim that you have to have the involvement of the Bez Nagodol. The Tosef Takashe, 40 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, Ois Bez Nagodol. There's no more Bez Nagodol, so shouldn't that be the end of the whole story? So Tosef rates up with that kasha. So the commentaries on the side of the Sefer HaMitzvahs as well as the Keren Ayra, there in the first Perek in Sefer, say that according to this Rambam is Arab Kikasha. The Rambam Shita seems to be that the Bez Nagodol still maintained its status till the days of Hillel HaSheni. There was a Bez Nagodol. Otherwise, how could they do Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi HaRiya? If the Rambam learns Pshat in the Mechilta that you require Bez Nagodol Ikuva, that without a Bez Nagodol, you can't have Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi HaRiya. So that's a machlokes. The Tosis in the Ramban hold Malam HaShem Mokum Gorim, that after they left the Lishkas Hagozes, or at least after they left the Yerushalayim, according to the Rashi Kalim, they no longer had the status of Bezna Gadol Levizit. What do they keep on moving? What do they maintain? They were the Gedolei HaTorah. So they asked them Shailos, and they gave Pesachim. But it wasn't the Torah Bezna Gadol. It was the Vat Matzah Gedolei HaTorah. But it was no longer had the Tokif of Bezna Gadol. And the Rambam holds not so. The Rambam and the Keren Eretz, they hold no. They maintain the status of Bezna Gadol, even though it wasn't Bim Kaimah. The only halacha that you tone bim kaimam is benegeh to zaken. Mamre benegeh to din in the nefashos. They have no right to function as a bezin for din in the nefashos purposes. Okay, the original pasuk is by zaken mamre. The original pasuk is by zaken mamre. From there we derive to all din in the nefashos. One could have said that it's only a din by Zaka Mamre. It's only a din of Zaka Mamre. So that's what somehow the Gemara understood otherwise. From Zaka Mamre, you learn out to all other cases of din and nefashis that the Bez Nagadol, when they're not Yoshi and Kaimam, don't maintain their status of Bez Nagadol with respect to din and nefashis. With respect to all other intents and purposes, they do maintain their status. Not really. That's going to be min hashamayim, and that's min hashamayim. That's not really, bezna is not, it's not nisus bezna, it's nisus de shamayim. Then the Mishnah continues to discuss the other things that need a bezna, so it says on the third line of the Mishnah, chalitza, we also discuss chalitza machlekes hatana, where they need three or five, so lechatchila we have five, but we don't have all five together, we have three in one direction, two in the other direction, to demonstrate that they're not certain. A meal is a takana de rabbana, we discussed already, no? I think we discussed, no? Neon is a takana de rabbanah. If the father is not alive, so he cannot marry off his daughter anymore, the daughter is in Yisrael. And let's say all the other girls are getting married at the age of 11, at the age of 10. And this girl is going to be an alta moi. She's going to be an old girl. She can't get married until she becomes bas mitzvah at the age of 12. So if there's such social pressure, bizman hazeh there's no such problem, no one's getting married so young. But bizman hatanoim, they had a problem. The girls were getting married at a very young age. So they made a takana de rabbanon that if the father is not alive, the mother and the older brothers who are first on mitzvah, they have a right to marry off the girl, the rabbanon, if they have the haskama of the girl. If the girl says, I don't want to marry this boy, so it's all over. But if the girl is masking, so then there's a kiddushin de rabbanon. There's a machlekes harishon where can the girl marry herself or? Because the girl is not a bas mitzvah. So in Shulchan Aruch, I think in Ebenezer, the Ramah Paskins know that the girl cannot marry herself off. And Rashi, in a few places, and Shah says, yes. That's machlokes harishonim. Were they misakin with the rabbanon that the girl can marry herself or hayos that she's before bas mitzvah? But at least they misakin adin of kiddush niyun that the mother he siyua imo biachera, the mother or the older brothers are all together. The mother with the older brothers married her off. So it's a kiddush in the rabbanon. Since it's only kiddush in the rabbanon, so the part of the takana was that if the girl later is unhappy about the shidduch, she doesn't require a get. If the husband gives her a get, she'll become a grusha. But if the husband, if she beats the husband to it, and she doesn't let him give her a get, she goes to a bezin, and she makes a declaration in front of bezin, I'm unhappy with the marriage, I wanted to annul the marriage. She doesn't have to ask them. She says, I'm unhappy with the marriage, I'm annulling the marriage. So the halacha says that the whole kiddushin is neka mila mafreya. It's not only mikama abos, it's considered as if she was never married to this man. She's permitted to marry his brother, and he's allowed to marry his sister. It's considered as if there never was any marriage at all. That's called miyun. So this miyun has to be done in this declaration that she's unhappy with the marriage and she wants to break it off, she wants to be oikarit. Milah matreya only works if she does it in the presence of a bezna. The Mishnah says it has to be a bezna of three. There are discussions in Yevamos whether that's exactly true. Bezna of three or bezna of two. Perik Beshama. Okay, so that's Miyunim. Then the Mishnah continues. Netter Avayim Aysa Shem Sheinam of Yiduim Bishloisha. What does that mean? You know, Netter Avayim Aysa, if you plant any trees in Eretz Yisrael, let's say, leave out Kutzlars. If you plant any trees in Eretz Yisrael, so the first 3 years, whatever pears grow, or a lot, usually nothing grows the first couple of years. And whatever grows, if anything is growing in the fourth year, is the din of Revai. Revai has the same dinim as Maaseh Sheni. He's supposed to bring it to Yerushalayim and eat the pears to Kedusha of the Tahari. And what happens here? What if you have so much pears? And you live so far away from Yerushalayim, it'll be such a burden, it'll be such an expense to bring everything to Yerushalayim. It'll be Yotza Schor Bafseidah. What is he going to gain by bringing it to Yerushalayim? The transportation will be so expensive. He'll lose, and then the Torah gives you a break and says that you're allowed to be paid the Maisa Shem. So how much do you have to be paid? So you have to be paid a Karen V'Chaymash. Karen V'Chaymash means you have to give, let's say it's $100. The pair is $100, so you have to give $100 plus Chaymash means another $25. 25% more. Why is it called Chaymash? Because after you add it on, you give $125, so that 25 is one-fifth of the sum total of 125. Yeah, the Gemara uses the words Milagav Milabar. So that's what it means. When it says in the Chumash, Yemayshut Chaymash, in that language it means you add on 25%. So the Torah says you give 25% over the Karen. Who's to determine what the Karen is? I'll be a wise guy, I'll say, it's only worth $5. Something worth $4, and I'll add on another dollar, make it $5, it's sold. That's the Karen Chaymash. That's cheating. It's really worth $100, and the Chaymash is really $25. So I can be a wise guy, I'll say that the value is $4, I'll add on my 25%, it'll be $5, and then my Rami. So the Mishnah says, no, you're not allowed to do that. You have to have a bezin of Shloisha. You don't have to be Rabbanim, a bezin of three people, be koveya, and if it didn't, bezin have to be koveya, shots up to make a shulman, how much is the Maisa Sheni worth, and how much is the Netzer Avai worth, in order to make a legitimate pinyon. Now Tesis points out there is halacha by Hegdish. There is halacha in Hegdish, a Mishnah in Perek HaZor. Ein oinoa lehekdeshes. There is a din of oinoa. Let's say I sell you a tape recorder, and I charge you some excessive price. So then sometimes you can get your money back and sometimes you can back out from the whole deal if I charged you way too much. The redinim of Aino, if it's shtus, if it's yes or mishtus, the Mishnayos have all of them. So the Mishnah has, there are certain instances where the laws of Aino don't apply, the penalties of Aino don't apply. So if it's karkois, if it's avodim, if it's shtoris, if it's hegdashis. So one of the cases where there's no Aino is hegdash. Whether I cheated Hegdash or Hegdash cheated me, in either direction, Allah is, there's no Einor lehekdashis. Einor Einor lehekdashis. Din Einor doesn't apply. So Tosis has a Chiddush. Tosis writes over here, Ubekamim, you dala on a base. The Tosis divam maschal neter revai. Really, Shaykh lemasnisim. The Tosis really belongs on the Mishnah. So the Tosis divam maschal neter revai. And the second line in that Tosis, they conclude, Miu bizman hazeh, shei mechala lemishabion laboy shloshim. Taisa says that Bizman is there, when we have Maisa Sheni in Eretz Yisrael, on Neter Avai, when we have Neter Avai, Maisa Sheni, we don't give the full $100, we give a pruta. I say, this is the Karen V'Chaymash, and finished. Goodbye. Why? So Taisa holds that that's included in the din. It never says that in the Talmud Bavli anywhere. It never says that anywhere in the Gemara. Taisa writes like that. Tosis writes like that. Then it points out that it's in the Talmud Yerushalmi it says like that. But in the Bavli it never says it apparently. So Tosis writes a Chiddush that just like this, halacha ein oinoa lehekdeshes, and therefore we have a din in both directions. Hekdesh shav in one end, shechila al shav puto mechulo. The hekdesh is worth $100,000 and I just give a penny. So b'dieved the pigeon is chal. I, what happened to oinoa? No oinoa. And the reverse also, Hekdash Shavu Pruta, Shechil Al Shavu Mana. The Hekdash is only worth a penny, and I say I'm giving $100 instead of a penny. So it works in either direction. The Din is Ein Anor Lehekdash. When I cheated Hekdash, Hekdash cheated me. So Tosis assumes that the Halacha of Ein Anor Lehekdash carries over to Maaseh Sheni as well. The Rambam quotes a Machlokes HaRishonim about that. The Rambam quotes some Goyim of Machna, some Goyim of Mekel, and the Rambam is Mekel. The Rambam is Mekel. The Tosis is also Mekel. Tosis also makes and Tosis says that Bizman is there, we do it like that. But the din of Hegdash of Aman is Shechilah, Shavakut and Mechulah, Bizman is even Mutah Lahatchila. That's based on the Gemara in Erechim. Gemara says in Erechim, the Gemara tells a story that somebody was Magdish a house in Bobo. So the Gemara says he wasn't allowed to do that. We have a brisa that Bizman is a Magdishin. You're not allowed to be Magdish anything because it's going to be a Chashash Takola. We don't know when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. So someone's Magdish a house, or someone's Magdish an animal, it's a Hekdash, there's going to be an Isa Nilus, and no one is allowed to use it. So someone for sure is going to use it until they build the Bayis HaShlishi. Who knows how long they take until tomorrow morning, and may take another couple of years. We don't know when the Bayis HaShlishi is going to be built, when we'll be able to use this thing for Hekdesh. So the Gemara says that Bizman Azeb, Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, Ein Magdish Mishum Chashash Takol. What if the fellow was Magdish a house, so what do you do? So the Gemara says, quickly you should get somebody to be Poydeh. How much Poydeh on Shavio? I mean, the mansion is worth $750,000. How much should you give? And throw it into the Yam HaMelech. So the Gemara says, no. Bizman, that there was a Beis HaMikdash, and if you'll be Poydeh, Hekdash, you give the money to the Gizbor, and the Gizbor will be using it for good purpose. He's going to be painting the Beis HaMikdash, going to be buying bricks and putting new floor and plaster. So then you got to give the full amount. You're not allowed to cheat Hekdash. Ain't no like Deshus means b'diyevit. If you cheated Hekdash, it's far from. We leave it like that. But l'chatchila, this certainly is an Issa. You're not allowed to cheat, like in Karka. Ain't no like Karkos, but there's an Issa. You're not allowed to cheat the other fellow in Karka. That's the original posting of Chumash, is I know like Karkos. The din of Ain't no like Karkos is b'diyevit. There's no penalty. So by Hekdash also. But the Gemara says in Erechim, towards the end of Erechim, a lot of Deshus, so but Bizman Azeh. What are you going to gain by putting aside $750,000 and throwing it into the Yam HaMelech and destroying it? So why should you destroy so much money if Hekdash is not going to get any revach from the fact that you're going to give the full Shabbos? So you may as well revert to the Shavu'ot Putta. So just give a $5 bill and then destroy the $5 bill. Why should you destroy $750,000? So Tosfos applies that din, the whole din applies to Ma'aseh Sheni. Bizman, that there was a Beis HaMikdash and a Mizbeach Banui, and people were able to eat Ma'aseh Sheni. Bizman is that we can't eat Ma'aseh Sheni in Yerushalayim for three reasons. First of all, we are Tomei. Secondly, all of Ma'aseh Sheni is also Tomei. And thirdly, there's no Mizbeach Banui. You can only eat Ma'aseh Sheni Bizman Shiesh Mizbeach Banui. The Gemara has a drasha from a post. Gemara Zvachim Dav Samach has a post. Gemara Makkos has the same post. That Bizman Sheni Mizbeach Banui, even though you don't eat the Ma'aseh Sheni in the Beis HaMikdash, you eat it in Yerushalayim, the Halacha requires a Mizbeach. So Bizman Azeh, there is a need to tear his Bekdusha v'Tahara, then it's prohibited to cheat the Ma'aseh Sheni to use this dreidel. To be paid $100 worth of Ma'aseh Sheni on $1, v'nei maramen. You say, Hekdash Alman Shefer Yashav Zvut Tumakul. Just like you're not allowed to cheat Hekdash, you're not allowed to cheat Ma'aseh Sheni. But Bizman Azeh, the Gemara says in the end of Erechim, Bizman Azeh is muta l'chatchila to cheat Hekdash, because Hekdash is not going to gain anything by your giving the full $750,000. So it's muta Bizman Azeh to cheat the Ma'aseh Sheni also l'chatchila. So that's our practice, Bizman Azeh. And we are paid the Ma'aseh Sheni in Eretz Yisrael, and after Revai, whenever they do it, so they're paid on a pruta. They take one pruta, and they say, Hu b'chum shemuchul ala la pruta hazeh. They declare that the keren is worth four-fifths of a pruta. Keren is really worth hundreds of dollars, let's say. They have a wine factory, or they have a payrus, whatever. So the keren is worth hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars. So the person says arbitrarily, the keren is worth four-fifths of a pruta. Mele de chaymesh. Fact that we pass in Ma'aseh Sheni Momen Govoya. The Gemara has a Machlokes Rav Meir Rav Yude regarding the status of Ma'aseh Sheni. Do we treat Ma'aseh Sheni as Momen Bailim, or do we say Ma'aseh Sheni is Momen Govoya? So Rav Meir is of the opinion Ma'aseh Sheni is treated as Momen Govoya. Now Rav Yude disagrees and he says no, Ma'aseh Sheni is Momen Bailim. Now usually when there's a Machlokes Rav Meir Rav Yude, Allah Rav Yude, usually pass him like Rav Yude. The Gemara says, however, that this is one of the few exceptions to the rule, that the din is like Rav Meir, that we pass him Ma'aseh Sheni is Momen Govoya. So the Bir Agro writes in Yeredeya, that's what Tosfos got us on. If the din would have been like Rav Yude, then Ma'aseh Sheni, Momen Bailim. From the fact that we pass in Ma'aseh Sheni Momen Govoya. The Gemara has a Machlokes Rav Meir Rav Yude regarding the status of Ma'aseh Sheni. Do we treat Ma'aseh Sheni as Momen Bailim, or do we say Ma'aseh Sheni is Momen Govoya? So Rav Meir is of the opinion Ma'aseh Sheni is treated as Momen Govoya. And Rav Yude disagrees and he says no, Ma'aseh Sheni is Momen Bailim. Now usually when there's a Machlokes Rav Meir Rav Yude, Allah Rav Yude, usually pass him like Rav Yude. The Gemara says, however, that this is one of the few exceptions to the rule, that the din is like Rav Meir, that we pass him Ma'aseh Sheni is Momen Govoya. So the Bir Agro writes in Yeredeya, That's what Taisha's got us on. If the din would have been like Rav Yudah, then Maaseh Sheni, Mama Bailin, then it would have been a din of Oinor. Then you wouldn't be able to be paid $100 worth of Maaseh Sheni on a pruta. It just wouldn't work. There's no correspondence that Maaseh Sheni is worth hundreds and you're giving a pruta. There's absolutely no correspondence. Even Mirieva, the pigeon, wouldn't be chal. But since we pass in like Rav Meir, the Maaseh Sheni, Momon Gavoa, so Momon Gavoa means that it's treated like Hegdish. So the Dina Veino Noor Hegdish applies here like it applies to Hegdish. So this man that you have the ability to be paid and bring the money to Yerushalayim and buy food, then there's an issa to cheat Maaseh Sheni. As long as it's the Yevid, if you put down a Pruta, it'll be Mechul. And this man has said that there's no Pseida than Maaseh Sheni. What is Maaseh Sheni going to be happier if you throw out more money in the Yam HaMelech? So since it's not stated the Maaseh Sheni, so Taisa says, "Bizman is this mutar lachatchila to be paid the shalo b'shavya, just to give a pruta." We even have a din in Maaseh Sheni.
What is going to be called a pruta chamura?
Prut Chamura is a term that was invented by the Chazon Ish. It means the following. The concept was not invented by the Chazon Ish. Concept he got from the Gemara, but he invented that term. He coined the term. Prut Chamura, he coined the term. It means the following. There is a Gemara in Perek HaZohar. It appears one place in the Talmud Bavli. Gemara says in Perek HaZohar like this: what if I have a quarter? A quarter has 25 pennies. Now a penny is a little more than a pruta. Pruta these days is a little less. We once spoke about it, no? There are 3,840 prutas in Pidyon HaBen. And we don't give $38.40. We give much less than $38.40. Obviously we assume that a pruta is a little bit less than a penny. Pruta has to do with the value of silver. So 96 grams of pure silver is considered 3,840 prutas. So you have to figure out how much 96 grams of pure silver sells for, and then divide by 3840, and you'll establish how much prutas is worth. So the Gemara there has a din. Let's say I have a quarter, and I want to be paid a Maaseh Sheni. I don't have to, and Bizman Hazeh, you're not paid a Bishavyam. We always cheat the Maaseh Sheni Melechatchila. But the Gemara has a din. There's a Mishnah in Hazor, Chomish Prutas saying, there are five halachas where we require a Shavah Pruta. One of them is Kiddusha Yisha. The Kaddusha Nisha you have to give a Shavah Pruta. One of them is Pidyon Maaseh Sheni. You cannot be Pidyon Maaseh Sheni if you're going to give less than a Shavah Pruta. So let's say I have a bottle of soda and it has, everything was Gemaisa. A bottle of soda from Eretz Yisrael, all the flavors are Gemaisa, but the sugar is not Gemaisa. And the amount of sugar is so little, so insignificant, that the Maaseh Sheni of the sugar is less than a Shavah Pruta. So I have a quarter. What do? How can I be paid? I want to drink the soda, and I know that the sugar was not gemaisa. No one took out the Maaseh Sheni. So can I be mafresh Maaseh Sheni? And then I say I designate which part of the soda should become Maaseh Sheni, and then can I be paid on a coin? So the Gemara says no. That in Hegdish, ain't another Hegdish works both ways. Hegdish of a man shechilah shavah pruto. Hegdish is worth 100, and I give $100, and I give a penny. It's good the way, be good, b'di'evet. Hegdish of a pruto shechilah shavah money. The Hegdish is only worth a penny, and I give $100 is also good. By Maaseh Sheni, it only works in one direction. If I cheated the Maaseh Sheni, if the Maaseh Sheni is worth $100 and I gave a pruto, so that's good. If the Maaseh Sheni is only worth a pruto and I give $100, it's not chal. That's how the Rambam quotes at Yerushalmi. By Maaseh Sheni, it only works in one direction. Why? So the Chazon Ish explains why. Pashup Shat. Hegdish is an institution, it's a tax-free institution that you can make donations to Hegdish. Maaseh Sheni can't make any donations to. So if a person, let's say, takes Hegdish, it's worth a penny, and he gives $100. So we treat it like you make a donation. You put the Hegdish on a pruta, and the other $99.99 is a donation. The Maaseh Sheni cannot accept any donation. Either it is Maaseh Sheni, it's not Maaseh Sheni. So you cannot give $100 for a Maaseh Sheni that's only a pruta. So what if you have this bottle of soda, and the whole Maaseh Sheni Shabbos is only a quarter of a penny? So the din is you can't be put in the Maaseh Sheni, because you can only be put in Maaseh Sheni on a pruta. And it's not worth a pruta, and you can't donate. I'll give a nickel. You can't give a nickel. You can't give a penny. If the whole Maaseh Sheni is only a quarter of a penny, it's a quarter of a penny, and you can't be paid there on less than a shavah pruta. So what do you do in such a case? If you have a bottle of soda and the sugar is not demisim, so the Gemara in Rav Metzia gives an eitzah. So the Gemara says, if you have a coin, if you have a quarter, and you were once paid a Maisa Sheni, real bona fide Maisa Sheni that was worth $100. Bizman is there, you don't give $100, just give a penny. Just give a pruta. So I had a quarter, and I used one penny's worth of the quarter. Which penny? The quarter has 25 pennies. You don't have to designate which penny. I used it once for Maisa Sheni. Say, I want to be paid all of the $100 worth of Maisa Sheni, and one penny should go. So I can use the other 24 pennies to be paid this. And now the Gemara says, since this quarter has a penny's worth of Maisa Sheni, so now I can even go ahead and be paid the Maisa Sheni that's less than the Shavar Pruto, because the end result will be that in the quarter I'm going to be left with more than the Shavar Pruto's worth. I already have a Shavar Pruto's worth of Maisa Sheni. I already used a penny or two for Maisa Sheni, for paying the Maisa Sheni purposes. And now if I'm going to use a quarter of a penny, because that's all the Maisa Sheni is worth, and you can't give an excess of the value, so then the Gemara says that it's legitimate. So that's what the Chazon Ish says you got to do in Eretz Yisrael. You always have to take a coin, a big shilling, whatever. The Chazon Ish lived in Eretz Yisrael under the British. He keeps on writing it, probably down a shilling. The man said, no more shillings. It's the shilling is not the Matbeh HaYotze Bais HaMedina, so you have to have an Israeli coin. So you take an Israeli coin, a big coin, and then you pay the one some real Vadai Maisa Sheni for a Pruta Shabo, and then you can use it many times. So what happens, let's say I had a quarter. Now I was paid already 25 times, all finished. I was paid 100 times. A quarter of a penny, and a quarter of a penny, and a third of a penny, and an eighth of a penny, all used up, finished. The whole quarter is all finished. And now I got to get another coin. I got to get another quarter. So the Chazon Ish says it has an eitzah for that too. Take another quarter. Because the Gemara says here, that's what I was just about to say, the Gemara says here, you can take Maisa Sheni money and be paid it onto other money also. You don't only have the ability to be paid a Paris Maisa Sheni onto money. The original Pasuk says, you take Paris and you pay the Paris on Matbeis. What about to be paid in Matbeis on other Matbeis? Is that legitimate? Let's say he was paid a Maisa Sheni, paid more Maisa Sheni, has tons and tons of pennies. Has a house full of sacks and sacks of pennies worth of Maisa Sheni. The guy doesn't want to schlep all these pennies, so he wants to convert all the pennies into a silver dollar. Is that legitimate? So the Mishnayim say it's absolutely legitimate. So the Gemara in Bava Metzia asks, how do they know? How did the Tanoim know that there's such a thing as pidyon Maisa Sheni, money unto money? So the Gemara says, kesef ha-kesef ribo. The word kesef appears quite a few times. V'tzata kesef yadech, v'tzata kesef, v'lokachta kesef, the word kesef appears many times. The kesef, ha kesef ribo, the repetition of the word kesef is marbi even kesef sheni. That you can pay the kesef ishan on kesef sheni. That's our Gemara. So the Chazon Ish says, not only can you be paid the money on money, like this man abayis that I have $25 worth of pennies all around the house, and I don't want to schlep all these bags of pennies to Yerushalayim, I'll make holes in my pockets. I have to have a special satchel to carry $25 worth of pennies. I'll convert the $25 of pennies into a $25 coin, and I'll carry one coin in my pocket in Fartik. Not only can I do that, he says another Eitzah. Bizman Hazeh, Taisa says, you have a right to cheat the Maisa Sheni Melech Hatchila. So he says, Achidish, I can take $25 worth of Maisa Sheni and take another coin and be paid there. All of the Maisa Sheni in this coin on the one pruta and the other coin. That's a chiddush. There was one. There was a big Talmud Chacham who lived in America, besides Rav Moshe Rosen, who wrote this story in the Nezer HaKodesh. So he wrote a chiddush. He wrote a chiddush that this halacha that Tosfos says, if you have Maisa Sheni that's worth $100, you can be paid with on a pruta. He wrote a chiddush that he thinks that that's only if the Maisa Sheni is Paris. And then you want to convert the Shavu Kesef, in other words, you want to convert the Paris onto Kesef so you can give a pruta to cover all of the $100 worth of Paris. What if you have Kesef? What if you have $100 worth of Kesef? So he writes a chiddush, he doesn't think you can switch $100 worth of Kesef onto a pruta. He says, Shavu Kesef, if you're talking about Paris, so there are different opinions. How much is it worth? Zokt, it's worth $100. He says it's worth $75. He says it's worth $125. There are different opinions. How do you make a shuman? Because it doesn't have any official value. So So you can declare it's worth a pruta, and you can be paid $100 worth of Maisa Sheni on one pruta. But you can't say that $100 worth of money is worth a pruta? $100 worth of money, that's not halakha. Money is money. It has its own shavis. Money is worth $100. So the Nezer HaKadosh has such a chiddush that he holds that it's no good. So the Nezer HaKadosh used to send, I think he's in Machutin with Tzvi Pesach Frank, if I'm not mistaken. He used to send a Shana Tayva to Tzvi Pesach Frank every year. So he used to answer him back. So they printed the correspondence that they had. So he sent him a Shana Tayva, I think. He answers him back, yeah, you too should be getbenched. And he got his latest volume of the Nezer HaKadosh. And he wants him to know that what you wrote in your sefer, it's an interesting idea. But he says, we don't follow that. Maisa Mechayom, nobody follows that. And everybody does like this. You take $100 worth of money, a Maisa Sheni, and you pay it on a pruta of another Maisa Sheni. So now the Chazanish has like this. Let's say I started off with a shilling, Chazanish's language. I started off with a shilling, and I was paid that, let's say the shilling has 300 prutas. I don't know, probably has much more. Let's say, for argument's sake, the shilling contains 300 prutas. And I was once paid the first time I was paid a one real bona fide 100% Maisa Sheni that was worth a lot, I was paid on the first pruta. That enables me not to be paid many times Maisa Sheni, which is less than a shava pruta. So I'm paid that way many times. Now when I want to switch everything onto the other coin, so he recommends, the Chazanish recommends, you should only be paid the other 299 prutas worth of Maisa Sheni onto the other coin, but leave your pruta chamura. The original shava pruta is worth a Maisa Sheni that you used the first time to be paid the real vaday tevel deraisa. A lot of the times when you buy products and everything, oh, maybe it is gemaisa, maybe it's not gemaisa, we're not so sure. Maybe it's not chayva maisa, we're not so sure. Maybe it came from chutz lords. So it could be that all the other 299 prutas worth of pidyonis that we did were meaningless. The first shava pruta was the real bona fide shava pruta. So the Chazanish recommends, when you want to deploy your whole shilling, your whole 300 prutas worth of Maisa Sheni, onto another coin, and then onto a pruta of another coin, and then you want to use that many other times. So he says, always leave your original pruta's worth of Maisa Sheni that you did, leave it in this coin. So you'll know for sure that every coin has for sure one shava pruta's worth of vadai Maisa Sheni, that works, and in Mela all of the other hafrashas will work. So he coined this new term. He was mechadish pruta chamura shebo. I want to be paid all of the Maisa Sheni in this coin onto the pruta in the other coin, chutz mi pruta chamura shebo, except for the original shava pruta's worth that I used to be paid the real bona fide Maisa Sheni. That's what they call in Eretz Yisrael the pruta chamura story. That's the Chazanish of pruta chamura. So the Gemara has this concept in Arda. Moish Hechlidu. The Gemara says Tana Rabbanan, about 15 lines from the bottom. It's a Mishnah Maisa Sheni. Ezer Maisa Sheni Shein Domov Yiduin. What's an example of Maisa Sheni that you don't know what exactly the value is, so you have to establish a Bezna of 3 to determine what the Shabbos of the Maisa Sheni is? So the Mishnah gives different examples. Perish Herkivu. The pear started to rot a little bit, so it's not clear how much they're worth. Yayin shehikrin, the wine started to spoil a little bit. Umoy shehechlidu, you have cash that started to become fashimel, to rust. So you paid this money onto other money. So the Mishnah talks beferish about kesef sheni. That's the Gemara in Hazav. Says kesef ribo. It says many times the word kesef shows that you can even be paid a kesef rishon on kesef sheni. And the Chazanish writes halacha lamais, you can even be paid a the Pachas Mishavya can take $100 worth of cash of Maisa Sheni and be paid that onto a pruta's worth of the other coin. Not like the Nezer HaKadosh thought, maybe not, but Maisa Mechayom that everybody does. We all follow the Chazanish did. Then the Mishnah continues to discuss pidyon hekdeshes. Somebody was magdish a watch. Somebody was magdish a building, and now somebody wants to be paid. He either wants to be paid or somebody else wants to be paid. So if he's paid, he has to be meisa chaimish. He gives the keren the full value plus 25% more. Someone else is paid other than the magdish. He just gives the keren. You don't give the chaimish. How do you determine how much is the keren? So the Mishnah says you have to establish a bezin to give a shuman. So if it's metaltalim, so the Mishnah says the bezin of 3 is sufficient to make the shuma. If it's karka, you need a bezin of 10. So the Gemara says that this Mishnah is the Loiki High Tana de Tanya, that there's a Tana of Lezer Ben Yankiv, 10 lines from the bottom. Lezer Ben Yankiv says, even Metalkalim also need a Beznat 10. So the Gemara gets involved with the Psukim and not exactly sure how to figure out the Psukim. Manavshal, how did they know that this is 3, this is 10? It's a problem. But that's what it says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah Megillah also. When you pray the Mises, when you pray the Hekdeshes, you need a Bezin of 3. When you pray the Hekdeshes of Metalkalim, you need a Bezin of 3 to establish what the Shabbos is. B'diyebet, if you gave a Pruta, is also Genu. That's B'diyebet, but L'chatchila, you're not allowed to cheat Hekdesh, you have to give the Shabbos. You have to have a Bezin to establish what the Shabbos is. And if it's Karka, so the Bezin has to be 10. Then the Mishnah says the Bezin that consists of 10 has to be Tisha B'Koyim. Has to be 9 Jews. And the 10th one has to be a Koyim. If you have all 10 Kohanim, it's about good. You have 3 Kohanim and 7 Selems are also good. But you have to have at least one of the 10 should be a Koyim. The other 9 can be Israel. Where did this come from? So the Gemara says, Menahem, we're here in Tezvavah Menalot, about 15 lines from the top. So the Gemara quotes the Piskah from the Mishnah, HaKakos Tisha B'Koyim. A Bezin of 10, 9 Yisraelim, and the 10th one has to be a Koyim. Menahem, really? So he says, the word Koyim appears 10 times in the Psukim. So you add them up, like it says, Basukas, 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 we had on Dav Dali. You keep on adding up, it says, Karnos, Karnos, Karnas, you add up. How many times the word appears in the Chumash? That indicates what the number is. Here the word Koyim appears 10 times in the Chumash. We add it up, so we see that you need 10 Kohan. So how do we say that Tisha the Koyim? You should say all 10 have to be Kohan. So the Gemara says no. Ein liyo tachamiru te'elo le'rabu. Since it keeps on saying Koyim. The first time it says Koyim, it means a Koyim. Then it says a second time Koyim. What do you have to say a second time Koyim? Let it just say. And he will, and whoever, the Bezin will make the Shulman. So the fact that it says at Tzveitim Ol Koyin, that's Ein Liyatach Niyatel Ole Rabbis, to imply that he doesn't have to be a Koyin. If he's a Yisrael, is also good. So the first time it says Koyin, it really means Koyin. And the next 9 times that it says Koyin, is a Niyatach Niyatel Ole Rabbis, so the other 9 can be Yisrael. So it's more correct, Akasha. So how did he come to this conclusion that it's 9 and a Koyin? Why don't you say it's 5 and 5? So the Gemara says, Hostag with Akasha. Kasha, we don't know the answer. What exactly was the Kasha? So here they're two Pshat and Rashi in the Ritva. Rashi learns Pshat. The first time it says Koyin means a Koyin. The second time it says Koyin is a Miyatach Miyatel Rabbis means Fakir, Mishkin Koyin. So the second time it says it doesn't mean a Koyin. The third time it does mean a Koyin. The fourth time is Miyatach Miyatel Rabbis. So the fourth one, every even numbered Koyin is a real bona fide Koyin. And every odd number coin, the second, the fourth, the sixth, and the eighth, and the tenth, is a miyatach miyat le rabbis, that's madr. So that's what the Gemara asks, so let it be 5 and 5. If every even number is a miyatach miyat, then every odd number is a real coin, so it should be 5 and 5. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara's kasha, and the Gemara doesn't have a teretz. There is one, the Gemara, this same Gemara appears in the Gemara. The same Mishnah, HaKakoyos, Tisha B'Koyim, the same thing as the Mishnayos and Megillah. So the Gemara and Megillah ask the same kasha. So the Ritva there has a different type. He says, we have a klal dayo levomen adin liyas kenodon. So the Gemara has that by Kal V'Chaymer. When you darshan a Kal V'Chaymer, has that. The Gemara says, the din that you're learning out can't be more common than the din from which it was derived from. Dayo levomen adin liyas kenodon. So he says, that was the Gemara's kasha. Not that every other one means a coin, and every even number coin is a miyotach miyot, and every odd number coin is a real coin. No, the first time it says coin is coin. The next 9 are miyotach miyot for rabbis. So the next 9 really are miyotach miyot. So all 9 should be Israel. But the Gemara Fek Takashi, what did you do over here? You have more miyotach miyot than the original one. The original pasuk says you need a coin. So you take 9, and you tell me 9 times Koyin is labdavke. How can it be that the drasha is marbed 9 Yisraelim more than the original pasuk says that they're Koyin? So chotch, let it be 5 and 5. How did the Yisraelim take over here? That's how the Ritva learns the Gemara's kasha. Let it be chotch 5 and 5. How can the drasha, the Torah Shabbat there, take over it? How can it supersede the Torah Shabbat Chzavat Kedekat that hits 9 to 1? Let it be chotch be 5 and 5. Whatever it is, the Gemara affects Takasha, like Takasha. We don't know. So the halach is to make the shulman, you need a bezin of 10. That's by karkois. Hakarkois, you need a bezin of 10. Tisha the koi. By metalkalim is enough a bezin of 3.
How do you think a bezin shalom?
That's Tesis Kasha. Tesis and Megillah affect the Kasha, and they don't know the parents. They're with the Kasha. This is the Megillah Esther Kamsha. Ein Bezen Shokul, if we're saying that it's really a din of the Bezen. I think some Achronim want to say, based on the Peretz, based on the cases that we had before, on Vav Amar Aleph, Peretz says, Bitzua B'Shloisha. The second case is from the top. On Vav Amar Aleph, so the Gemara is talking about Pshorim. So the Gemara says, Makshinam Pshorim Adin, that just like a Dintari need a Bezen of three, so to a Pshorim is a Bezen of three. That they're both Adin. The Pshorim is a Pesach of Mekhnim Yishuris Adin, and the Dintar is a Pesach of Din. What is the Din? And Pshar is also a Pesach. That's what it says in Chosh Mishpat, that just like you're not allowed to take Sheikhad, just like you're not allowed to be Mata Mishpat on a real Din, so you're not allowed to take Sheikhad, you're not allowed to be Mata Mishpat on a Pshar either. And just like there's clearly a concept of a Toya B'Dvar Mishnah and a real Din Torah, if the Pesach is absolutely fraudulent, so Toya B'Dvar Mishnah, the Pesach is not at all valid, so there's such a concept as a Toya B'Dvar Mishnah, the Pshar also. If the Pshar is absolutely, utterly ridiculous, then if everybody recognizes right away that it's utterly ridiculous, there's a concept of Toya B'Dvar Mishnah and a Pshar as well. So the Tosfos says, despite the fact that Afa Gavta Makshinam Pshar Ledin, even though the Gemara says there is a Hekish and there are similarities that this is three and this is three and there's a din of Shoichat, there's a din of Hapayas Mishpat, there's a din of Toya B'Dvar Mishnah, but it's not 100% the same. In a din Torah, if there's a split vote in the Bezin, it's 2-1, so the Mishnah I say, you go Basarayit. In a Pshara, Tosfos says you can't go Basarayit. Because they're not trying to figure out what the Torah has to say. If you have a split Bezin, 2-1, and they're trying to establish what does the Halacha have to say, but then the Halacha says, Acher Rabbi Mahakas. They're not trying to establish what the Torah says. They're trying to say, from the perspective of a Bas of Adam, what do we think Yosha dictates? So you are right, and you are right, and you're also right. Each Dayan is right. From my perspective, I think Yosha dictates A, and his perspective, Yosha dictates B, and from his perspective, Yosha dictates C. The Tosfos says, how can you go Bas Arayf to say, if two out of the three say one way, and the third guy says not, so he's wrong. What do you mean he's wrong? He says, from my perspective, Yosha dictates, that's his sense of Yosha. So you can't outvote, Tosfos says, you can't outvote the third Dayan who disagrees with the other two. So whenever you have a pshara, it has to be a unanimous vote. Unless the Bez made up in advance, when they convened for the pshara, if they made up in advance, we're going to follow Rav. Okay, so that's what if the Baladinim agree to that, so then we'll follow Rav. But the Baladinim don't have to agree to that. If you have a Bez that's going to pass convene, so they don't have to agree to go Basarayit. That's the din atar that you go Basarayit. But if you have a Bez that's going to issue a psaka pshara, then the Baladinim have a right to say, we only want to observe the Pshara, we only want to be bound by the Pshara if it's a unanimous vote. That's what it says in Chosh Mishpat, because this Tosfos is quoted, Rav Amar Aleph. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik, that's what other Achrenim have this, not Rav Soloveitchik, other Achrenim have this Gora, that just like by Pshara, Tosfos says you don't go Basarai, because you can't say that it's really wrong. He's saying, from my perspective, I hold that Yosha dictates like this, and Tosfos says you don't know Basarai. So it could be by establishing Shuman. We're looking at the Peretz Maaseh Sheni, we're looking at the Hegdish. How much is the real estate worth? How much is the tape recorder worth? So this person says, I hold it's worth so much. He says it's worth so much. There's an absolute truth over here. Halibu de'em is klapi shmaigali, how much is it really worth? Shavis is always from the perspective of a bus of a dump. So you can't say that these people are right and these people are wrong. So that's what some Achrayim want to say, that when do you say, there's a Sefer Sanhedrin Kana, from Achsidisha, I think, from Kozhenitz, on Masechus Sanhedrin. So he writes it over there, Takan Davrov, such as far and others related to this Tosfos in Megillah. The whole reason for the din of Ein Bezen Shokol is, in case there'll be a tie, so you want to have the ability to go Basarayit. But if you're having such a case, where Royd isn't going to work anyway, the Stama Roiv is not going to work by a Shuma, just like a Roiv doesn't work by a Pshara, because each person is Dr. Gut. He says, from my perspective, I hold his worth so much. The other one says, from my perspective, I hold his worth so much. He can't say that he's wrong. From his perspective, he's right. From his viewpoint, he is right. You can't outvote him to say that he's wrong. So since the whole reason for Ein Bezen Shokol is in order that you should be able to go Basarayit, but by Shuman, it's discovered that you don't go Basarayit, just like by Pshara, so maybe that's why the whole thing shouldn't apply. Possibility, possibility. It's a problem though. It's a problem because Tosfos already has the Kasha in Yevomos. And he just had by Medida Segla Rufo, or by Smiche on the Pahel and Davishol Tzibu. So the psukim only indicate you need two dayanim from the Beit Magdala, four dayanim. How did they come off? Review the option. How did they come off to say three or five? Using the principle of Ein Bezen Shokel. So Tosfos Pirkei Akashic, what Ein Bezen Shokel? They're not voting on anything. There's nothing that's being debated. There's no discussion. They're just doing smicha on the Beina. Or they're just doing the medida of the Egla Rufus. So what do you mean Ein Bezen Shokel? So Tosfos gives two answers. So one answer is, it's like there is that custom that whenever you have a bezin, the halacha requires it should be an odd number bezin, shouldn't be an even number bezin. Even though bezin is not going to vote on anything, so we say like that. So this territory is down the drain. Even though the bezin is going to vote on an issue where Roy isn't going to help, but kach nem halacha that every bezin has to have a bezin neifer. So according to that answer in Tosfos, it's not a good, not a good term. The other answer that the Rishonim give is a shveri answer. They say the reason why Ein Bezen Shokel applies even to Medita Segla Rufa, or even applies to Smicha and Parham Dovashol Tzibur, is, what are they voting on? In case a Shaila should come up, so they'll have to argue it out, so they'll go Basarayt. What kind of a Shaila can come up? Lemashal, by the Medita Segla Rufa, there is a Machloik of Satan, be measured from the nose or be measured from the heart. So there is what to discuss. Sometimes the mace is so centered in between the two cities that if you measure from the heart, this city is the Kroiva. Elachol, and measure from the nose, the other city is the Kroiva Elachol. Or let's say he was decapitated. So do you measure, do you bring the body next to the head, or do you bring the head next to the body? So that's also a Machlege Satanayim. Where do you measure? From the head or from the body? Machlege Satanayim in the Mishnah and Perek Egla Rufa, Masech HaSeifa. So Tosfos says, and the same thing as Smichan Paran Ravashot. See, but there are a couple of issues that they may want to dispute. So Tosfos gives that other answer that in case an issue should come up and they'll argue out how it should be done, so then you have to have the ability to go basara. Yes. So you say like that, then this teretz is good. But that's also a shvera teretz. I remember Rav Soloveitchik found that very difficult. If they have a shaila, how to do the medita? So why are they the balabatim to Paskin? Let them call up, let them call on the telephone to the Beis Magadol. How do they become the balabatim to Paskin? They're just representing the Beis Magadol. Beis Magadol has 71 members. How do they become all of a sudden the balabatim on the Ishaites? Yes, consult with the other members of the Beis Magadol. Same thing by the smicha, the parah, the Shal Tzibur. They're representing the whole Beis Magadol. So why should they have the right to Paskin on their own? They just do the Maisa Smich and they just do the Maisa Medida. Shaila will come up, so they should consult with all the other 71 members. So it's a good Tekash. Tosfos and Megillah is Tekash. And Achrenim discuss whether they have a valid Teretz or not. Here the Mishnah continues on this theme. The Mishnah says this contrast. If you're assessing how much the Hekdish is worth, so how much of a Bezin do you need? If it's Metalfalim, it's a Bezin of 3. And if it's karka, it's a bezin of 10. And then it says, Adam kayetze bohem. It's the fifth wide line in the Mishnah, on that base. It says, the Adam kayetze bohem. If you have a human being, b'ni Adam hukshel karkois, so you also need a bezin of 10. Tisha v'koy. You need a bezin of 10 to assess how much the person is worth. So the Gemara wants to know, what in the world does that mean? Gemara has on Tezvav and Aleph on the second half of the Yomar. Adam Kayetzman, the Gemara quotes the caption from the Mishnah. Adam Kayetzman, the Gemara, Adam Kaddish. What do you mean? A man is Magdish himself. It doesn't make any sense. A person can be Magdish himself to the Bezin, to the Hegdish. So what do the words mean? And for the Gemara, no. He took upon himself, he accepted upon himself a neder to donate an amount of money to Hegdish. So if he says, I pledge to give $1,000, it's $1,000, that's it. He pledges to give $20,000, it's $20,000. He pledges to give his value, domai or lai. I pledge to give my value. If he would say, erki or lai. So the Chumash tells you, it depends whether he's a zohar in a cave or what age. You look in the Chumash, you look in his birth certificate, and you determine how much he has to give. But if he doesn't say erki or lai, he says, domai or lai, so the din is shaman osa kevin aninka bashuk. So since the Shuma is Kevin Anim Kibashuk, that's how you determine how much he has to pay to the Hegdish, and I bought a book Shulah Karkoiz, so in the Mele you have to have a Shuma by a Bezin of 10. Just like Karkoiz require a Bezin of 10, so the Domai Olai, since the Shumanos Kevin Anim Kibashuk, also require a Bezin of 10. That's the Gemara. Beldalus Alavechik is quoted in the Shiurim at the beginning of Erechim, where he raises the topic on this halacha. Shamanos and Kevin on Intabashuk doesn't mean Evid Ivri or doesn't mean Evid Knaini. What kind of an Evid? Because the person who's speaking, Domai Olai, is a Jew. So he cannot be sold as an Evid Knaini, he can only be sold as an Evid Ivri. But he's really worth much more. I mean, if you would have a Nochri can be sold for long. Every day we can only be sold for Sheikh. And the boss can't make him do Avodas Perach, Avodas Eved. He's restricted in what he can do. But I'm just as healthy as the Nochri. So the Nochri is worth so much more. And I'm not worth that much because I can't be sold as an Evid Knaini. So is that so? Is it not so? Shaman Osi Ki Evid Anit Kav Shuk means like an Evid Ivri, because that's how you make a Shuma. Shuma is always Kamu Hashavu Din Kav Shuk. Shavis is always determined by how much the market value is. But should you say no? Not Kamu Hashavu Din Kav Shuk, how much I am worth. How much Odin Kayotzi Din would be worth. If there's another human specimen who could be sold by Shuk for more, a Nochri can be sold for more, so then why should you say that I have less Shavu just because I'm Israel? And the halacha doesn't enable me to be sold as an Evid Knaini. So Rav Avila raises the question, he points out that it's a machlekes, Rashi and Tosfos, machlekes of Rishonim in the first parak in Kiddushin. That Rashi seems to hold Evid Ivri, and Tosfos holds the Farish Evid Knaini. And he shows in the beginning of Perek HaChoyvel, there's also been like that, HaChoyvel V'Chaveir, I cut off someone's arm, and now he's Nebuch missing an arm, so he's worth much less. I have to pay Nezek Tzari B'Shevet and Boshet. How do you determine Nezek? So the Mishnah says, Shomen Kamo HaYoshova Limkor, how much would he sell for as an Eved before, when he had the full arm? And how much would he sell now? How much would he sell for now? So Rashi writes there on the first Mishnah HaChoyvel, how much would he sell for if he would try to sell him as an Eved Ivri? And the Rosh presents the sheet of the Balei HaTosfos. The Rosh usually presents sheet of the Balei HaTosfos. He says, no, what's on Eved Ivri? But the same specimen of a human being, if it would have been a Nochri, could have sold himself as an Evid Knaini. So just because I'm a Jew and I can't sell myself as a Evid Knaini, so I should be worth less money, it doesn't make any sense. So Rav Avila points out that Machloik is Rashi and the Rosh on the first Mishnah HaChayvel is a Lishitasoi in the first Perek in Kiddushin, where they repeat again the Machlokes on this Gemara. By Shomen Osi, when he says Domo Yalai, how much does he pay? Shomen Osi Kevid Ivri, Kevid Knaini, the Zelba Machlokes of Hashem. So there are two different dinim. There's a din of Erechim and a din of Dom. If he says Erech Yalai, Erech Plani Yalai, it doesn't matter how much he's worth. He's worth a million, he's a Mukashchin, he's worth nothing. It depends whether he's a Zoch and a Kevim and what the age is. That's Erechim. And Domin is Shomen Osi, how much it's really worth. What if a person says, Erech Kli Zeh Olai? I want to donate to the Beis HaMikdash. So if he uses the correct term, Demei Kli Zeh Olai, the Domin, so Shomen Osi Achekes, it's Metalkalim, so you assess how much the Domin is, and that's how much I pay. But he didn't say, Demei Kli Zeh Olai, he says, Erech Kli Zeh Olai. There is no such thing as Erech and Kli. So obviously he made a mistake. When he said Dinei, when he said Erech Kli Zeh Olai, he obviously meant Dinei Kli Zeh Olai. But the Shaila is, that's obviously what he meant, but he didn't say it. So what's the halacha in such a case? So that's a machlokes Satanoim, that's the top thesis. That's the top thesis over here. Antes Vav Ben Aleph. The Gemara in Erech in Daf Hei has a machlokes Rav Meir and the Chachamim. They say, Ein Odom Moitzi Dvarav Levatolo. People don't talk Narishkeit. They talk an intelligent person. What did he say? A nonsensical statement. I accept upon myself a neder to donate to Hegdish. Erech Kli Zeh. He's not, it's not Purim. He's not making a joke. It's not a play. He's really interested in pledging to Hegdish. He made a mistake. He really meant to say Dnei Kli Zeh. I said the wrong thing. Erech Kli Zeh Alai. So Rav Meir says, "Eilan the Moitzit Dvar V'Ratolah, the Gomel the Yomel the Shem Domim." What he meant was the Meikli Ozel. And the Chachamim disagree. What does the Chachamim hold? "Oh, the Moitzit Dvar V'Ratolah." It's a joke. Very strange. And there's a Tshuvas HaRadvaz. It's interesting. The Stechemet quotes the Tshuvas HaRadvaz. The Stechemet wrote an encyclopedia, alphabetically arranged, where he quotes a lot of Yishayim and Achrayim. So one would have thought that the Encyclopedia Talmudic should take everything that's a statement of Stechemet and they should have more. They should use computers. No, there's some things in the Stechemet that they don't have. When the Sakupita Talmud has about Ein on the Mike Dvar, they don't have this Chuvah Sir Radvaz. It's the Chemin quoted it. The Radvaz writes in the Chuvah that the Machlekes Rameh Nachachomin, he has a Maganishna like that, that says the following: the Machlekes Rameh Nachachomin, whether Ode Moitz Dvar Vatola only applies to Inyani HaFloy, doesn't apply in other areas of Halacha. Let's say a man wants to get married, and he fumbles under the chuppah. He says, Hariyat Mekudeshishli. He said, Hariyat Miskad. I don't know. He said some kind of word that doesn't make any sense. But everybody knows that that's what he meant. So, Zach Me'en and Moshe Dvar Batala. Obviously, he's getting married. So, Nom Dere Muchaf that he's getting married. So, everybody would agree. There wouldn't be a Machlekes Amen HaChacham. If there's a Nom Dere Muchaf, that's what he wants, that that's what it is. But in Yoni HaFloe, Haflah means that the Dibur creates the Chalois, and the Dorim, Shvuas, Naziris, Hagdash, and Erech, and Charamin. All of these things, the Amira is what creates the Chalois. So if the person fumbles in the Amira, like there's no Amira. So you can have an Umdad in the Mucha from today till next year. But you didn't say it. So the Chachamim say, sorry. You said, Erech Klizei Alai, that sentence has no meaning. So you're not bound to give anything. Arameir says no. Since he said Erech, and it's obvious that he meant the May, so we teach that the word Erech that he said is considered as if he said the May. The Chacham say no. He certainly meant to say what he was driving at was the May, Klisa, but he didn't say the May. He didn't say, so he's not going to believe anything. Rameh says no. It's considered as if he said the May. The word Erech, in the context of his sentence, is understood like that. So the Radvaz quotes that some Maganishtin, he elaborates on it in his Chuvah, and he says, the only time there's a Machlekes HaMeir and the Hachamim is by Inyani HaFloh, like over here, the top line on the Omer, on Tezvav and Al. He said, Erech Kli Zeh Olai. Obviously what he meant to say was the May Kli Zeh Olai. There is no Erech and for a Kli, there's only Erech and for a human being. So Rameh says, you chayif to give it. The Chachamim say that you're not chayif to give it. And then the Gemara interprets that that's what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah says something about Erechin Hamitalkalim is Bishloisha. What does the word mean? Erechin is on a human being. Erech Pliny, Erechi, Erechecho, Erech Pliny alike. Erechin has to do with a person. What do you mean Erechin of a Mitalkalim? So the Gemara says, oh, Stam Mishnah Rab Meir, goes like Rab Meir, Rab Meir holds Eid and Emotzi Dvar Vatolis, and he says, Erech Klize alai. We assume Ein on the Mitzvah Dvar Batala Begom of the Yom of the Shem Domim. What he really meant was Domim. And when you assess the Metalkalim, you need a Bezen of Shloisha. That's how the Gemara first gives a Taich in the Mishnah. Omar Rav on the last line on Yud Dal and Amidal. The Mishnah says Erechin HaMetalkalim means Erechin Shel Metalkalim, and it goes like who ever heard of Erechin of Metalkalim? Only Erechin of a human being. It goes on Liba the Rameir, Sam Mishnah Rameir, in such a case when he says Erech Kliyazol. Then Igmar gives other Rekimtas in the Mishnah. You don't, because we don't pass them like that Rameir, but we pass them other Moitzi Dvar Vatol. We don't pass them like that, so Igmar gives other interpretations. In this week's Sedra, there's a pasuk that speaks about the Hakrovas Karbonis, that you're supposed to be makruv all the chela the nedam on the mizbech. And it's also b'achila lehedyot. And last week said it also, both in Vayikra and Tzach. So it says, mechela v'nedela v'chela trefa yeyosel l'chol malocha v'ochel lo sachlu. You're not allowed to eat chela. Chela is also b'achila lehedyot because it's supposed to be karv agavi on mizbech. V'ochel lo sachlu. So the Pasuk says, yeyosel l'chol malocha. You can use it for whatever purposes you want. You can do whatever business you want. So the Taisvis writes in Bava Kamma, Taisvis in the end of Perek Merubah, the last half Merubah writes that we have a Mishnah in Shviyas that says that you're not allowed to do schara b'macholos asur. Let's say a person for a living sells non-kosher meat. He has a butcher shop and he sells non-kosher meat, but he sells in Harlem. He sells only to Nachman. So he's not in violation of Lifnei Velisitin Bichshul. He's not misleading someone into eating non-kosher meat. But still he's doing business, he's buying wholesale and selling retail. So if you're selling macholos asura, there's a mishnah that you're not allowed to do that. If I happen to have, I got a yerusha of non-kosher meat, or if somehow I went hunting and I trapped a non-kosher animal, so if it's nizdamnu, so then the mishnah says you're permitted to do it. But to go out of your way, the maize that have been miscavened to do business with macholos asura is not permissible. So Tosfos says the same applies to chalev. Let's say I'll go to all the butcher shops where they trade raw of flesh, and I'll buy up everybody's chalev, and I'll sell it to the soap manufacturers. Some of the fancy soaps have chalev included, and I'll sell it. If I sell shuman, that's okay. All these fleshic soap. But if I sell them chalev, chalev is macholas asur. So Tosfos says you're not allowed to do schayre with chalev. And the Rambam disagrees with Tosfos. Rambam says no, that's a pasuk in Chumash. You can do whatever you want with it. Special hetter that chelav is an exception to the rule. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Macholos Asuras that even though you're not allowed to do schar with other Macholos Asuras, but chelav is mutl. So there's a discussion in Achronim regarding this prohibition of schar by Macholos Asuras. Is this an Issa Deraisa or is this an Issa Derabbanan? So some wanted to bring a raya from the Rambam that he seems to hold that the Issa is an Issa Deraisa. Because the Rambam is proving that the Issur doesn't apply to Chela based on a Pasuk. If the whole Issur was invented by the Chacham after Matan Torah, so what does the Pasuk indicate? On the level of the Raisa, you can do Schara with all Macholos Asuras. Chela is not different. On the level of the Rabbanan, once the instituted the prohibition, should even apply to Chela. So the Taz quotes this argument. Taz has this famous comment in three different places, and he has it in the beginning of Chayshim Mishpat, and he has it in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. And he has it in Yeridaya, and this thing, and in Schar B'Macholos Asur, the beginning of the second Chelik Yeridaya, he repeats the same thing. From the Rambam, there's no right. Li'olam, the Rambam may hold that Schar B'Macholos Asur is only the Rabbanim. But the Rambam perhaps goes with a shita that a lot of Achrenim have, and a lot of Rishenim seem to hold, that whenever there's a Pasuk in the Chumash that says explicitly that something is Mutah, the Chachamim don't have the ability to make an Isur Keneged Dovah Mefurish Batar. So maybe the Yolam, the Rambam, thinks that Schar B'Macholos Asuras is the Rabbanan. But he says the Chelav has to be an exception to the rule. They can't make an Issa the Rabbanan against the famous Pasuk. And the Pasuk says is Mutter is Mutter. They cannot ask the such a thing. That's how the Taz says. The Hezbet to the Taz, L'chaira, is that when the Chachamim introduced the Din of the Rabbanan, it's not Stam Adin the Rabbanan. Called the Tikka Rabbanan, came there, I said Tikka, and all the Din of the Rabbanan is supposed to blend in to become a chelik of the Torah Shabbat Peh. And a Svarah Rapsalvechi Torah Svarah even becomes a chelik of the Torah Shabbat Peh on the level of their Isis. We cannot institute a Din Rabbanan. There's going to be mamish, a stira gluya, enough in a stira to what it says in the Torah. If it says the famous that something is mutta, how can we institute a chumr med Rabbanan to ask that the thing should not be allowed? So this is a Svarah that many Rishonim and many Achrenim have, that whenever there's a Dovah Mefurish Batorah, it's not shaykh to ask. It's such a Ravid quotes in the beginning of in Ksubis, the first place where the Ravid has Asogis on the Riz, is in Ksubis in Perek Nairish and his Patsa, in the fourth Perek. So the Ravid talks there about the Oinus and the Fatah and Moitzi Shemra, these are all Knossos. The Hamishim and the Meir is all Knossos, and we cannot be Dam Bezman Azed in Knossos because we don't have any smooth. So the Ravid quotes from the Tshuva Sagem, however, it's Roilet Bezin Lenadosa. Bezin should put the man in Cherem. A man is going to go around being honest people. You have to put him in Cherem until he's Mephayez Baldino. Baldino says, I don't want to be Moichel you until you pay me something. So he has to pay the Oinus and the part of the money. So the Ravid quotes from the Tshuva Sagem that Bezin should force him to ask Mechiva, and they should force him to pay either more or less than the 50 or the 100. But they can't make him pay the exact amount. That's against the halacha. The halacha is that if you don't have bezin smuchim, you can't pay. So what's paying more or less? So the answer is no. To pay the exact amount of hamishim or the meyer, that's keneged davar mefurish batar. We don't have smuchim as man as this, so you can't force him to pay. But to pay 45 shkolim or to pay 105 shkolim, more or less than the amount that's written in the Torah. So that there's no pasuk about that. So that's not considered keneged davar mefurish batar. And the Ramah in Chayshim Mishpat quotes that also from the Tshuva Sagan, that Bezin could be menada the person to deliver some of the food. He says there are many Russians in Brooklyn who are being opkishmat by missionaries who are making siddurim for them. And he says, if we will not make siddurim for them, these people are going to go to the Christians and they'll be nichshol by them. So he has his literature, this Rabbi Prossman is in the back, standing there in the back. He has his literature. He's asking if we have time to help out. If we have children who can help out, we should please help him make his siddurim in the Brooklyn areas. He says that right near this shul, there are missionaries who have every Shabbos and Yom Tov, they have minyanim for these Russian Jews, and they get them to go to church and worship Osahuish. And he says, if we're not going to do something about it, these people will become full mishamon. anybody who can help from Pashut, the money he doesn't ask for, he's just asking for assistance. Anybody who can help is requested to please speak to him.
Thank you.